It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 623. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on-demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Got a couple emails for later in the show. Please leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. We do have a voicemail tonight from our moderator, Uncle Al, in the chat, so I'll be playing that in a little bit. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I want to remind everybody, there are a few tickets still available for the DC Unconvention 2017. That's the weekend of September 16th and 17th. You can go to www.unconvention.io, purchase your tickets, and get a $40 discount by using the code MTS for Mike Tech Show. MTS gets you $40 off your tickets. The Unconvention is brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder. It's sponsored by, and also this show, by Malwarebytes, TechBench Toolset. It's an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. The Unconvention, I'm going to be part of the keynote, along with some other podcasters. I'm also doing a lab, and I think I may even be hosting a workshop. So there's a few things that I'm going to be involved in throughout the whole weekend. It's a two-day convention where participants will learn new business strategies, discover new technology through hands-on demos on the first day, and learn best practices in the community we call AMA, which is Ask Me Anything. This is how you learn. This is how you network and meet vendors like Instant House Call and Malwarebytes and others, and establish great relationships that you can use and actually profit from. It's very important. If you are an IT support repair business, this is the perfect convention for your size, because with those other big conventions that are massive, like CompTIA, they have their value. They're great. This is the size you want, where you can ask questions and get good answers, network with other like-minded individuals in the tech world. This is the perfect size for listeners of the Mike Tech Show. And that's why I'm behind this, and that's why I support it. And let's hang out in D.C. down there. Come join me. So one of the topics for tonight is Outlook tips. I got three of them that I got to discuss that happened during this week in the trenches with clients. I have a Steam tip. Steam I don't use, but wait until you hear the story from last night. And then we're going to talk about Windows 10 updates and the inconvenience of some of those updates. Let's begin with the Outlook tips. And the biggest one, I will have the link in the show notes. It's how to configure the size limits for the PST and OST files. One of the biggest problems of Outlook is maximum limit that the PST can grow to. So on Monday, I'm working on a client system remotely where their Outlook won't open. It just won't open anymore. And when you try, it'll crash. And here's what I started to do. Okay, look, they have a Shadow Protect backup every night. I'll just go restore that 19 point something gig PST and put it back. They're using Outlook 2007. And I said, boy, that's weird. From not the night before, but the night before that, it's the same identical size right to the byte. And I ran into the same problem. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, I tried to repair it and it wouldn't repair. It said it was going to take 18 hours. And I was like, I'll just let it sit all weekend. It'll fix it. No. So then I went back a few days and mounted the Shadow Protect backup. The size was identical right to the byte. And then it dawned on me, when you do the math with the 19,000, you know, so bytes, it's 20 gigabytes. I looked up the limit for Outlook 2007 is 20 gig. I'm like, they need to upgrade because Outlook 2010, the limit is 50 gig. And that's it. Your PSTs can't be bigger than 50 gig going forward. So this is a very important lesson. And that's why I wanted to talk about this and share this. If you're running into problems, the first thing you should do is look at the size of the PST. Look at the size of the OST. Because now we can have issues. And this explains another problem that I'm going to be actually solving for another client tomorrow. Because they're right at that limit. So I upgraded them to Outlook 2010, which I have, and I'm still able to sell them. Not many, but I still have a couple licenses that work for this very reason. I was able to upgrade them. It's working perfectly. Took about an extra hour when I was opening up. It needed to convert it and repair, and it was doing adjustments, you know, after I did the Office 2010 upgrade, and it's working great. That was lesson one. Very, very big. So I get an email from an attorney who's sending emails to his wife who has a Hotmail account, and she cannot open the attachments. It has a winmail.dat attachment that cannot be read. Now, this one I already knew because I've seen this before. Anybody that's AOL or Hotmail, you cannot open attachments. If someone sends you an email from Outlook using the rich text format or HTML, you need to send it as plain text. And that's what the next link is. Emails received from a sender using Outlook includes a winmail.dat attachment. The sender has to know that, oh, it's an AOL or it's a Hotmail.com, I need to change my email message to plain text. Then the attachments will go through and all is well. That's lesson two. There's a third. This one is how to update stored credentials in the Windows Credential Manager. Here's the example. You have an Outlook user that is connecting to an Exchange hosted, like Sherweb, which I recommend and I resell. I have a client, they keep getting prompted for their password every time they load and launch Outlook. Well, I've seen this a lot of times, and you have to go to Control Panel, Administrative Tools, Credential Manager. I don't care if it's Windows 7 or Windows 10. And you got to go into the credentials that are for every credential that's for that website or for that Exchange server. You got to go in there and edit the password and put the new password because they might have changed passwords and Credential Manager got messed up and it didn't take. It also happens when you have multiple Exchange servers being connected from multiple sources from the same Outlook profile. I think I said that correctly. The culprit is normally the credential manager and you want to go in and you want to fix that. So that's the third link. That's my trio of Outlook tips to share with all of you that hopefully this will save you some problems as you go forth supporting Outlook. If you're armed with all of this and you've been using, like me, I've been using Exchange Server from the beginning. I was hired by U.S. Healthcare way before they, the year before actually, that they merged with Aetna. And I was brought in to literally work with Exchange Server as an early adopter while it was still a release candidate. I had weekly conference calls with Microsoft developers in the rollout and managing, setup, and learning Exchange Server. I'll never forget me and the CIO in Bluebell, PA. Microsoft literally flew out to talk to us about this new revolutionary email client that they were going to release in a year called Outlook. I've been working with Outlook for a long time, since its inception. And the same with Exchange Server. It was an invaluable experience that I've actually built my corporate career on in using that. And that's what got me the positions I did after that, was building on that. I get challenged all the time, like with these things. Like I said, the first one, I don't know why that slipped my mind. It's like when you're repairing a computer, run Crystal Disk Info. We're going to talk about that a little later today. Run anti-malware cleaners and clean the system, because there's a good chance that that could be the problem. And you also could be looking at a bad hard drive, and you want to get that out of the way quickly. Run those things that you can do quick to just get them off the table. First thing I recommend is checking the size of a PST or OST before you move on. And then if they're safe, if they're small enough, okay, it's another problem. And then you can begin. Last night, I was working on a very high-end gaming system for the son of an important client. And the system has a sound problem. But when I got there, oh, there were far, far serious, more serious problems than that. His 1 terabyte SSD was out of space. His system was unusable. When we finally got it to boot once, he said, I know a directory that can get us 5 gigs back right off the bat on the desktop. And it was a temporary holding area for game downloads. He gets rid of that folder. We free up 5 gigs. And now the system's breathing a little bit. And I can now download tree size and do an analysis of the C drive. What is taking up so much space? Well, he uses Steam, which is a gaming service for downloading games. I know my youngest son uses it. I've never used Steam, but I know a lot of people, the world uses Steam for gaming. I'm not kidding. Steam was taking up 850 gig of space on the C drive. So clearly that is the problem. I said, we have to begin pruning. Now, I don't know anything about Steam. I did some Googling, and I like certain trusted sources like Lifehacker. They usually have some pretty good recommendations. And that's where this next utility comes from. It's free and it's called Steam Mover. And I used this personally last night and moved over 200 gigs of programs of games that he's not using all the time. He has a 4 terabyte secondary drive that's just sitting there. And as a matter of fact, it's a 4 terabyte Western Digital Caviar Black. So we're looking at a great drive. It's not an SSD, but it can certainly host games that he's not going to be playing in a while. You just literally hold the control key and tag. And by the way, this is a portable program, Steam Mover. You run it, you tag all the games because it shows the location. You pick the new location on the new drive that's got plenty of space. And then you just one button and it moves all of the games that you tag. Do one as a test and then you can go on. So the games that he wants to play all the time, Okay, let's leave them on C. But here's where education comes into play. He did not realize that that secondary drive is what should be holding music, should be holding videos, should be holding his games like that. He had a music library of 40 gigs. There's no reason to keep them on an SSD. We moved that. That brought another 40 gig to the party. So we got a lot of space, and he has a lot of work that he knows to still do to move all of those games to this other secondary 4-terabyte drive. Once we tackled that, which was a major problem, then I started tackling the sound issue where the back of the motherboard, any speaker you plug in, you get no sound. So I figured, oh, this is a driver issue. Well, at that time, I'm now battling a Windows 10 post-creators update, which is huge, which I think was released last week. And of course, his system couldn't apply that update because it had no space. There was a lot of things he couldn't do. Now we have space. Behind the scenes, Windows 10 starts downloading this update, and I don't realize it. And we lock up, and I have to reboot. And then I seen this massive update that I said retry, because I wasn't going to have this update happen again without my control. So this is another lesson. And we're actually going to, there's going to be an email later that we're going to revisit this. Check for Windows updates before you begin something on the system. Yes, it can eat away at your time, but especially with Windows 10, since we cannot control, you can delay them, but you can't eliminate and stop the updates. What you want to do is just make sure the updates are happening and get them done and then move on for the rest of your diagnostics. As a matter of fact, there's been a couple systems which we've had in our shop here that they were brought to us for performance issues. They were having problems. Guess what? They were in the middle of updates, Windows 10 updates. Once we got the updates done, did some basic cleaning, systems were flying. They were doing great. Check updates, updates, updates. Make sure they're all applied. When you think they're all done, they're not done until you check it and it says there's no more updates. Then you can continue. That's my advice. I want you to listen to this voicemail from Al.
Hi, Mike. This is Al from Pittsburgh. That's right. We won the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. Uncle Al in the chat. I want to tell you about a program. It's called Kaspersky System Checker. It's really thorough, and it checks all running programs recently installed in case you're having problems, large programs, browser extensions. Tells you if you need updates to Windows, critical system updates. If Flash needs updated, it's pretty amazing. You might want to check it out. Thanks. Bye.
Uncle Al, thank you so much for that voicemail. And the link will be in the show notes. And that's www.kaspersky.com/system-checker. I will absolutely add that to my list for checking my system. I'm not a Kaspersky antivirus fan, but I don't mind utilities that are one-off like this. I'm not supporting Kaspersky, the antivirus, but a system checker? Absolutely. So thank you for that. And I encourage anybody to please share that kind of those tips and utilities that you find, like the steam mover that I found and used in sharing. Send them in. This is a follow-up from Robert. And he says, this is the Office 365 crashing issue. A few weeks ago, I sent you an email about Office 365 2016 crashing every time I tried to save a document. You gave me some steps to go through and even had me download a new version of Malwarebytes to fix my problem. My problem persisted. By the way, this is now my opinion, my interjection here. That was a common problem with a Malwarebytes update. Was having Office 365 crash. And that's something they got another fix out right away. So I really thought it was that, but clearly it wasn't. He continues, I ended up uninstalling Office 365 and installing Office 2010. The issue did not happen with Office 2010. I uninstalled Office 2010, reinstalled Office 365, and everything worked fine for about 2 weeks. In my system, I have a Samsung EVO 840 256 gig SSD and a Seagate 1 terabyte mechanical drive to store my data. One day, my drive D was gone. The Seagate drive died. My data was all backed up, no worries. However, I had ran Seagate CTools on my 1 terabyte drive when I started having the problems with Office, and the hard drive passed all the tests. I thought I would pass along this information. Does anybody out there know of a good tool to use to test hard drives besides Western Digital's Data Lifeguard or CTools? Absolutely. And I mentioned it earlier, one of the utilities, it's not the end all, but it gives you that quick snapshot of what's going on with your drives, and that's Crystal Disk Info. I'll make sure that's at the portable version for download will be in the show notes. That program gives you a blue light if everything looks good, a yellow caution light, which I take seriously. I will make sure all the data comes off that drive anytime I see a yellow. I will try doing a format and then run it. If that yellow is still there, that drive's gone. So yellow is your chance. Get your backup data. If it's red, you absolutely do it. You're already having serious problems, and that drive has to be replaced immediately. Blue, yellow, red, it runs in seconds. It is a quick, it's not the end all. It's not the perfect diagnostic hard drive utility. It's just one quick snapshot. So I'm wondering if that would have helped you. Would you have seen the caution light there? And then that's an indicator. Doesn't mean it's going to fail, but there's a strong likelihood that it will. So it's time to replace it. As a matter of fact, I have a drive in my system. The next time I open it, I'm not putting anything on it. It's been reformatted, everything. It has got yellow warnings. I got to get it out of my system. I have one because I have two 500 gig Samsung SSDs. One's a boot drive. One's just a secondary drive. I have 2 3-terabyte drives for data, and then a 6-terabyte drive. This is all on my main computer here. Now, only one of the 3 terabytes is really my primary data. The 6-terabyte is like a junk play drive where I can have movies and all sorts of things and extra music files. That's like the play drive to do junk with. And then I have this other 3-terabyte that I have nothing on it because it's riddled with some yellow caution warnings from Crystal Disk Info. And I did try, it's a Seagate, and I tried the Seagate utilities. And one of the Seagate utilities said it was fine. So I hear you. Yeah, that's why we have to have multiple. It's why we have multiple anti-malware programs and cleaning programs. One program just can't do the whole job. Same with the hard drive utilities. Add Crystal Disk Info to your tool list. Email is from Steve. Couple questions about updating Windows 10. Hi from New York. New listener since April. Now big fan and permanent devotee. Especially after you mentioned the issue with Windows 10 updates breaking the Mackie Loud Technologies driver. I don't remember talking about that. So he might be confusing me with another podcaster possibly, but I've never had a problem with my Mackie driver with Windows 10. But I'm going to continue here. I'm a former IT professional, retired now for 11 years. I watched, lived this stuff as it grew, watched the hangers-ons, wannabes come and go, and finally and permanently drop off. Only the good guy experts remaining. That's not why I'm retired, though. Now I'm retired. I spend most of my time on my first love, music, and keep my hand in the digital ocean by helping others navigate the treacherous waters of Windows migration, with a little Linux development and support thrown in, just to keep things interesting. And just to show you it takes all kinds, I'm doing it all totally blind. Lots of good tools out there to help me do jobs, including Microsoft's Narrator. Not the best screen reader solution, but it works when it's needed. My question regards the Windows 10 Creator Update. I've been waiting for it to arrive since May. So far, nothing's come through. I know I can go to Microsoft directly via Knowledge Base Article 315-9635 and initiate the process. But I've heard so many not good things about this update that I thought I would just wait until it shows up. In 2+ months, it hasn't. Do I have something set wrong in my Windows 10 installations, or is the Creator's Update something that should be gotten manually? I don't know the reasoning behind Microsoft and their process, and these are my comments, for delivering the Creator's Update, but I've had to manually install that update to any system that I wanted the Creator's Update on. I do have some clients where it has come down. There's no reason to not do it. Okay. I would rather be in total control of the update. So I actually prefer going to the software download for Windows 10. That link is going to be in the show notes. And you can download what we refer to as the Windows 10 Update Assistant. And it will grab that update and bring it down. Don't be afraid of that. Absolutely do it. And then you're in a position to get the next big update. Do that right away. There's a big post-creators update that you want to run. And you want to make sure that you get that out of the way. But I would rather you be in control. Now, before you apply that update, make sure you have a full backup of your system. If you have all your data backed up, there's no reason in the world that you can't manually kick off that update. As a matter of fact, one weekend after that was released, I did that manually on 5 of the systems that I use, and I didn't have one problem. Mileage varies. You may have a problem, but I would rather you be in control. He continues here, and about this Mackie driver business, could I wake up one morning and find my Windows 10 system with the driver on it, having been updated overnight? And now I have to fix the driver problem yet again. Again, have a backup of your system. Try Driver Max. I've had good results. A couple people have had mixed. I've had very good results. Google, what are other people saying about this Mackie driver problem? Did you totally remove it and let it and then unplug it and then let it detect? If it's USB, look at maybe some firmware updates to your motherboard or motherboard, they're called chipset drivers. You might need that. If it's FireWire, where's the FireWire being delivered? You might need a driver update for that card. So a couple things, you know, for you to look at. He continues, what I would much prefer is to remove the driver, let the update happen or cause it to happen, then put the driver back. Unfortunately, Windows 10 doesn't give the user the same update options it did under Windows 7 without some changes and registry hacks, which I suppose I could and maybe should make, allowing the updates to be delivered, but giving me the choice of when they'll be installed. Now, you with the Creator's Update, you can pause updates for 30 days, and that's only, I believe, with Windows 10 Pro. If you are cautious about the updates, this is one of the biggest differences between Home and Pro. Pro doesn't give us the total control that we had with Windows 7 that we so desperately want, but it gives us a little bit of control, better than Windows Home. Consider, are you Home or Pro for 10? And that's a reason to go to Pro. He goes on, Loud Technologies has really dropped the ball on their FireWire driver software. Even on the Mackie website, they say that the latest version of the driver, version 4, something might work in Windows 10, which it does, but there are no guarantees or fixes if it doesn't. Too bad, as I love my Monster 1640i mixer and do not want to replace it. I loved my original Mackie mixer that was Firewire. I loved it, loved it, loved it, but there's some blown capacitors and I got to get them fixed. So I had to relegate myself to the USB Mackie, which I'm not as happy, but it does get the job done. Steve goes on, any thoughts on properly handling of the creator's update, which I did cover, but not breaking the Mackie driver too badly are greatly appreciated. Keep up the great shows and keep on rocking and rolling at those international rock festivals. Steve, great email. Thank you so much. Now, my final advice here for you is unplug the Mackie mixer. Turn it off. Unplug it. Use the Windows 10 update assistant and get Windows 10 rocking and rolling perfectly with the creator's update. Apply the post creator's update. Now, like you're starting from scratch, introduce the Mackie mixer and let's see what happens. You have absolutely nothing to lose. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Please remember to use my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. It makes a big difference. It's the way you can really show your support. Amazon.micnation.net. Remember to support Instant House Call, Malwarebytes, TechBench, TechSite Builder at TechSiteBuilder.com. That's it. I'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.